Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Boris Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for that delicious eruption of applause. Now then, last week it was reported that two unknown Englishmen of military appearance were found with revolver shot wounds in a cellar in the eastern sector of Berlin.
Who were they? How did they get there?
Well, we made inquiries and uncovered a story so fantastic it scares us.
Now, we're only telling it to you because we know you. For heaven's sake, turn your volume down because you don't want those people next door to hear.
You know what they're like. Now listen.
To most people in Whitehall, I was just plain Colonel Smee, liaison officer for inter-service field ablutions. But military men knew that the field ablutions were really only a screen. My small office was in fact the nerve center of British military espionage counterintelligence. And it was in my capacity as head of VMECI that I was now traveling through the peaceful countryside to the home of my wartime chief agent, Hugh Clinton. He had retired in 48, was now married and had a family, and a lovely home in a corner of England that he'd always been a part of, the Cotswolds. As I expected, he welcomed me warmly.
Colonel, it is good to see you. Seen anything of the old crowd? Pamela Marchant, Fripp?
Yes, I see a bit of her at the club.
Which bit?
The majority, actually. It's a striptease club.
Yes.
I planted her there to keep tabs on the undesirables. About all they'll let her keep on.
It's a grand chance. What do you have to drink, Colonel?
Same as you're drinking. Pink gin, isn't it?
No, just plain gin. I cut my finger on the bottle opener. Oh, here's my wife. Hello, darling. We're having a gin before dinner. Can I pour you a little?
Oh, Hughie, darling, you always want to pour me when you're on gin. Let me see how Edward gets first. I bet you're Hugh's famous Colonel Smee. My husband often describes you to me after he sent the children out of the room.
And you're Alice. You're even more beautiful than Hugh's enthusiastic description in his letter.
My name is Marjorie.
There's my atrocious handwriting again, darling. Well, it's me. Well, jolly glad to see you. That goes without saying.
Oh, good.
Out with it, you old fox. This isn't just a social visit, is it?
So you've twigged.
Oh, yes, we have three, two boys and a girl.
That's a pity in a way, because what I've come down here to ask you to do, Hugh, is hell of a thing to ask anyone. May I speak freely?
Yes, Marjorie knows all my secrets.
Except Alice, I take it. Well, Hugh, you know that I still get the Foreign Office confidential reports. Do you read them?
Only the racing kit.
Well, Hugh, let me put in the picture. The situation is this. You will be aware that at the end of the last spot of bother, the German army surrendered to us on Lüneburg Heath. Mm. The surrender document was kept as a personal souvenir by the British Commander-in-Chief, a field marshal whose name I must not mention. But I can say this. It rhymes with Montgomery.
Rhymes Wellington?
It'll be quicker if you let me tell it without interruption. Now, Hugh, does the name Baron von Einstadt mean anything to you?
Baron von... Yes, I had a brush with him in New from Lisbon in 42. He had completely changed his appearance and was going under another name.
What name?
Rover.
That's a devil. A master of disguise. He's now the head of a group of ex-Nazis who are planning a comeback. And we have received news that while the field marshal I mentioned was at the TV studio rehearsing, they broke into his caravan and stole the famous surrender document.
The deuce they did.
What for?
Don't you see what power it gives? They've only got to get one of those rubbers that rubs out ink and then change the names on the document round.
You mean alter it so the Germans won?
Exactly.
But they wouldn't do that. That's cheating.
They're up to anything. hell changes so that we surrender to death.
We can't let them get away with it, Colonel. Not now. Not while the old country is battling for very existence in the International Festival of Popular Song.
Then somebody's got to get that document back. And there's only one person. You.
Me?
Me? You. You.
Colonel, that's not fair. You can't send Hugh. He's retired. He's left that life. It's too dangerous. Hugh, what about the children?
She's right, me. Send one of the children.
Look here, Hugh. I can't force you to do this, but remember, it's for England.
Yeah, you're right, of course. Marjorie, I've got to go. You do see that.
Oh, yes, I suppose so, but Hugh, just be careful, eh?
I will, I'll go. That's enough. Come on, let's see that little smile. That better, Miss Colonel.
Well, to be quite honest, I think I prefer her with the scowl.
Marjorie, I'll need my rucksack and nice glasses.
Yes, and here, take a handful of water biscuits in case you get hurt.
You're a brick, Mark. Goodbye to me.
Good luck, old chap.
Goodbye, Mark.
Bye.
It's just a job.
Dad, he's first to let them all through, his old Hugh. No hesitation, the lone wolf whips on his water biscuits and off he goes. Dad, I'd give a small fortune to know where he is now.
He's in the broom cupboard.
What makes you say that?
That's where the door he went through leads.
Let me out, it's dark in here.
Come in, Hugh, cut his old friend. Try and hang on.
Gad, Colonel, we're up against a devilish clever crew. See what they did? Switched the doors on me. But I got my hands on one of them, a tall, thin, artistic type he was. And might have been a musician or a poet.
Phew, that was a mop.
Was it, by Jove? This thing is more far-reaching than I first surmised. I need my compass, Marjorie. Will you, Marjorie? Marjorie! Colonel, there's only two of us here.
Gad, you're right. And just a moment ago, there were three of us. No, there's just the two. You, there's one missing.
But which one, ma'am?
Which one? That's what we've got to find out pretty damn quick. Think, man, think. The sands of time are running out. Which one of us is missing? Call the row.
Right.
Me? Yeah.
Then it's either Marjorie or me that's missing.
I'll soon find that out. Kimping?
Yeah.
Marjorie? Marjorie?
Colonel, the devils have got Marjorie.
When the effects of the hypodermic needle had worn off, I realized that I'd been dragged through a secret panel beside our mantelpiece and into a tunnel which led to a small room in the eastern sector of Berlin. All the room held was a plain wooden table and a tiny grilled window. Hungry as I was, I just couldn't bring myself to touch the grilled window. Then, the door opened.
So, you have a walk-in, Paul Kipping. Do not be afraid. You are only here as bait. Bait to lure Colonel Sneak and your husband to my trap.
Oh, sure. Do you think they'll fall to such a transparent ruse? Never. What kind of fools do you take them for? Walk into a trap that a child of five could spot?
Yeah? What is?
You in there, Mars?
Are you laughing at Mrs. Kimby?
No, Colonel, run! Don't come in! It's a
what, dear? Mrs. Kimby, what did you say?
I say, Colonel, why do you think he's making this noise?
It's pretty obvious what's happened, Kimby. He's eating a top bit.
Well, let's go in. I'm sick of water, Mrs.
Hello, old girl. I'll bet you're surprised. I say, Colonel, it wasn't a top bit. She's eating that chap's head.
Baron von Einstein.
Welcome to my parlor, gentlemen. And let me warn you, Kimping, do not attempt to move.
Oh, I had no intention of moving. Well, anyway, not till the children go to school. We're terribly happy where we are.
Hey! It has all worked perfectly. I have the two top British fine dogs and the surrender document. Deutschland über alles.
I'll thank you to leave Alice out of this.
Well, Baron, you're wrong on two counts.
Huh?
Firstly, on our way up here, we filched the surrender document from your safe and left in its place a worthless piece of paper. A post-war credit certificate.
German und Herren! Himmel und Herzstück!
And secondly, we were not foolhardy enough to come here without bringing adequate support.
Bluff! I do not believe you.
No, they look through the window behind you.
No, that is an old trick, my friend.
Oh, go on, you would spoil everything if you don't.
Well, just one quick look. A beautiful jet!
And that took a bit of organizing, I can tell you.
Do you give up?
Yeah! Come on! Come on! Move it down here!
Come on, we've done it.
Together, old man. Where's the surrender document? Look, Mrs. Kenting, this is a proud moment. If it hadn't been for your husband and me, England would now be the country that lost the war.
And what would that mean?
Oh, darling, use your head. It would mean that England would have Germany's living conditions, Germany's industrial production, Germany's standard of prosperity, everything.
And you two stopped us being in that position.
We did.
Marjorie, what are you doing with that gun?
Point it at us. No, no, don't shoot.
Himself some part-time work, matter of fact.
Oh, yeah?
You know what he does? He hires himself out as a television sitter.
I've heard of babysitters.
Well, of course everybody's heard of babysitters. Yeah. This is something quite different. It's a brand new trade.
Yeah.
He said there are some unfortunate people who are occasionally forced to go out at night and then miss an evening's telly, you see.
That's...
Well, they book Ron to come round and watch for them, you see. Then when they come home, he tells them what's happened, you see, so the next day they're not out of a conversation in the office, you see.
Oh.
You work hourly, right?
Yeah. Well, I suppose the money comes in handy.
You were darling, right? Yeah. It's the darling.
Of course, you know, it does cost a tidy penny to set up a home these days, doesn't it?
Well, hey, set up a home? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and you've got to find the home first.
That, yeah.
Here, what a lark we've had with that the last week.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I tell you?
No,
give us another brown, then.
Right.
It started with this in our front parlour, a jug with excitement, she was.
Myself.
Hello.
I'm so excited about us Kit and Boots. Mud block cha-cha.
Zone. C-H-C-H-W means central heating and consistent hot water. Everything we wanted. It's the rest of the ad that worries me, though. See, look, only quiet, genteel couple will be accepted. Mabel Billings, who's just got engaged to a boy in the estate agent's office, says they're being very cautious.
So were we when we first got engaged.
The letting people wrong.
Letting people what, eh?
Beloved, do try and concentrate. Mabel says that the landlords want to keep up the tone of the block. See?
Yes.
So when we meet the agent there this afternoon, well, if your father's with us, well, it'll... Well, I mean, much as I admire Mr. Glum, he's not genteel.
You mean he's Jewish? Just a kiss, a genteel one. It'll be a novel.
No, I just put a mouth on.
Oh.
Hello, hello, hello. What, running her in, run? Well, give over, Esther, because I want a sharp word with that lad. Ron, how many times have I told you not to play blow football with a pickled onion? That tablecloth is crisscrossed with brown trails. And you won't do it when you get in that flat that you're after, will you?
About that flat, about when we go to view it this afternoon.
Oh, it's quite all right, Ed. I'll be with you. I put off all my other appointments. Well, I've got 2 quart bottles of brown ale in my jacket pocket in case you have to miss tea.
2 quarts?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Mr. Glum, they're being very finicky about the tenantage of these flats.
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't think you should come at all.
Don't think I should? Oh, I see. Oh, well. So the old gentleman isn't posh enough for his larded our future daughter-in-law, eh? A bit on the non-you side. What, don't you know, eh?
Look, Mr. Glum, don't take this personally.
How else can I take it?
Well, look at you.
What do you mean, look at me?
Look, you haven't shaved for days.
Oh, no.
And, well, a greasy shirt with no collar and those split-open old tennis shoes.
Might I inform you, Ethel, that the trend in men's fashions is towards casual wear. However, I have no wish to thrust myself in. It's just as a father, I have the natural desire to inspect the abode where my only son is going to domicile. Perhaps that's unnatural. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. I'm just...
No.
Just hurt. That's
all. Like that. Of course it's not unnatural.
All right,
then. The flat and welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, I must say.
And
I'm
around now. Yeah.
Mr. Glum, not just at 3:30 this afternoon while the letting agent is there.
All right then, well, it's only 2:15 now, isn't it? Why don't the 3 of us go round there right away? And then when I've had my perfunctory butchers, I can humbly withdraw my lower class presence before the agent arrives.
Oh, well, yes, that's a good idea. I've got the key. Wait a bit till the rain eases off. I haven't got a mat.
That's all right. There's a perfectly good umbrella here somewhere. Now, where did I see it?
On a coat rack in the Pewter Cafe.
I don't mean originally. I mean after I brought it home. I know where it is. I got it. It's in the kitchen. Mrs. Glum's been using it for hooking the boiled puddings out of the copper. Come on then, you two. Over to flat 23, Arcadia Court. Well, this is the flat, eh? Ooh, yeah. Well, Ed, what do you think of it? Where's he?
Oh,
There's no sense of all getting wetter. Don't be selfish now. And wring your hair out. It's all plastered to your face, all streaky.
Look, there. The lights go on and off. Oh, and look, there. There's an electric fire stuck to the wall.
Now, don't lose your head, Ron. Let's examine the place more carefully now, then. This would be your lounge come dining room, I take it. And this, the bedroom. All right, Ron, let me shut it. Pull your neck out. And here, kitchen. And bathroom. And one more. Oh, that's a luxury. Separate. Separate airing cupboard. Very genteel, isn't it, Ash?
Look, Dad, little pools of water all around us.
Don't paddle in them, Ron.
Oh, there she goes.
Oh, I'm getting a cold.
Push him.
Bye-bye, please.
Oh, for heaven's sake, we can't have you getting one of them long-term colds, what you specialize in. It means postponing the wedding. And that'd be highly inconvenient. I've already let Ron's room to them nine Caribbean gentlemen. Oh, dear.
What can I do?
Well, you'll have to kill it before it really starts. Get them wet clothes off and jump into a hot tub.
Hot tub? Where?
Well, here. Ron, go in there and draw up a bath.
No need to draw one. There's a real one in there.
That's what I meant. Go on in. The water's hot. You can feel the pipes. Now, you go in there, Ethan, and chuck your wet things out through the door, and we'll dry them in front of the electric fire.
But how will I dry myself?
Oh, well, use this.
Dad, that's my best cap.
Yes, the instant will be round here.
Another 3/4 of an hour yet. Go on. In you go, Ed. And come out, Ron.
Oh. Yes.
And, Ed, shove your clothes round the door Ron, put your fingers in your ears. When you've undressed. All right, Ron. Now then, switch that electric fire on. Both bars. Ah, oh, that's it. It's warming up nice now. Well, Ron, what... Do you see yourself as master of this establishment?
Oh, yes, Dad. I think I'll be very happy here. I like the shiny walls.
Well, they're only shiny because you switched the electric fire on. The new plaster's sweating, as you might say. It's what they call condensation.
Oh, in that case... Dad!
Watson!
There's a bare arm coming round the kitchen door.
That's the bathroom. All right, Ed. Chuck your wet clothes out here. Got them, Ron?
Look, Doc.
Well, unwrap them from your head. Put them in front of that fire.
Right, Dad.
Ah, that's it. You know, son, I should get rid of that light bracket and replace it with a standard lamp. On principle, I'm against anything fitted or fixed in the home, you know, for pawning purposes.
Yeah. All right, now, Dad.
See, Ron, you must make your preferences known. I mean, this place is going to be your home, so if there's anything you don't like about it, well, say so now.
Well, there is one thing, Dad.
What's that?
The smell.
Smell? What smell?
Oh, like burning clothes.
There's no smell of burning. Burning? Escobar, quick!
What?
Pull them out! Stamp on them! Turn them out! Oh, dear! Oh, let me might have burnt the old block down. What made you hang them right on the fire itself?
I didn't know, Dad.
What do you mean you didn't know?
I had my eyes shut when I was holding them.
You are the shyest creature. We've laughed to have that little chat. Well, anyway, we can only be thankful them flames didn't spread, so no harm's done.
Mr. Plum, I'm
ready. Oh, dear. Let's see how much harm that fire did to these. Oh, dear. Look at them.
Mr. Plum, I'm out of the
bar. Well, get back in again. Quick. Well, there's been a slight accident there. Your clothes are burnt to ashes. There's only one recourse. Ron, take your shirt, jacket, and trousers off.
Oh, Dad, am I going to have a bath, too?
No. Nothing of the sort.
Oh.
You're going to provide Ed with a bit of coverage. Ed, you slip on Ron's jacket and trousers for the time being. Got them off, Ron?
Yes, Dad.
I'll open the door a fraction, Ed. Now then, Ron, put your arm round and sling them in there.
Right, Ed. Here you are, Ed. Catch.
Oh, no. Oh, well done, Ron. You surpassed yourself this time.
And it was throwing round the corner, too.
Shut up.
Well, I can't spare any more.
All right. I'll take my jacket and trousers off. You can wear them. Don't worry. Here, I'll shove them through this time. There we are. That solved it.
Solved what? When that
cocky
station arrives, what will
you see? Well, you'll see me in my shirt tails, Ron in his pants and vest, and you in a 48 chest jacket and 52 waist trousers, so... Well, I see what you mean, yeah.
Oh, we'll never get the flat.
She's right, Dad. Let's go home.
How can we go home like this? Do you think I'm going to stand on a bus stop like this? A right sensation we'd cause.
We can't stay here. We can't go home.
Wait a minute. There's one way out.
Hey, what are you taking your shirt up for, Dad?
Stuff it in the electric fire on. Don't let it flame. Just let it smolder with bags of smoke. Now then, let me open the window. Fire! Fetch the fire brigade to rescue three victims whose clothes have been scorched off their cringing bodies. Fire! Fire!
Old devil, Mr.
Yeah.
Did it work?
It worked, yes. Oh, it worked like a charm. Give us another, Brown. It's going down a treat. Yes, sir. Fire brigade arrived with blankets and they bundled us down a ladder just as the estate agent arrived. And of course, to his eyes, Ron and Ethel were as genteel as he could wish for.
Ah, Mr. Clum, you see, you're a wonderful father to them, too. So they got their little flat then, eh?
Who said no? Well, no, actually, no, Ted. Unfortunately, Ron was a bit careless with my smouldering shirt, you see.
What do you mean?
Well, the old ruddy building burned down.